But that doesn't mean that it's all just sloppy messes of limbs and genitals.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another Saturday Night Waste of Time with Josh Hadley. I almost said that like I didn't remember my own name, huh, Kat?
You know what? I think that the listeners should decide if we're a waste of their time or not.
I think they do. And as you can hear, the cat is with me. Chucky is not with me this week. So since I've got you alone, Cat, I'll tell you this because it won't embarrass Chucky. You're vivacious. That really climbs up his ass. You know that.
Well, I mean, was he also called vivacious once?
Once. And it was a long, long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT to get 10 free gifts. You get 6 free DVDs, plus you get a toy for him, a toy for her, a toy for both of you, and free U.S. shipping, just for using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. I don't know what to do for...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We've got a couple this week. How about the less overtly stupid one we'll go with first? How about Lucasfilm is suing a New York brewery? It's Empire Brewery, and they have a new beer called Strikes Bach. Lucasfilm, Disney, is suing them because people may think that we endorsed this beer when we did not.
Okay, there's two thoughts I have on this. First off, Jesus fuck, every restaurant in the whole of this country has something that's a reference to something else that they don't have ownership over. Every restaurant, every cafe has something named after something famous that they have as a joke. And we are smart enough as a country to know that everyone does this and that, you know, Disney didn't come in here and go, oh, your beer is really good. We want to endorse it. We know these things. We're not stupid.
Disney may think we are because they sent, quote, a notice of opposition to Empire Brewery saying that the beer moniker is virtually identical in sound, appearance, and connotation to the film title that they own the rights to. Lucasfilm has a long history of using such marks for food and beverages, including wine. The fact that consumers have been exposed to and accustomed to seeing Lucasfilm's Star Wars film franchise marks in connection with food and beverages, including wine, increases the already existing likelihood of confusion. Unquote. What they're saying is, we've already whored our name out to everything else. There's no reason to believe people won't think we did it here, too. Isn't that it?
Well, see, I said I had a second thing, and that second thing is actually something we've talked about on this show before, which is you have to defend your trademark at all costs. Because if you fuck up even once on not defending your trademark somewhere, there's going to come another case where they're going to go, well, you didn't defend it this time, so we're not going to allow you to do it this time because obviously you don't care enough.
But it's a pun. It's not like they called it the Strikes Back. So they're not actually infringing on their trademark. It's more of parody.
It doesn't matter. They are defending the connotation, the meaning, their identity, essentially, or however you want to take it. If they don't do it now, there could be another case in the future where something similar happens. And I mean, God forbid they get screwed over on something for the first time in their lives. But, you know, something more serious could come of it. And the judge is going to look back and go, oh, well, what about this case where this guy here has this and you guys didn't care about it then? So why should we care about it now?
But then there's also the odd timing of this. Empire has had Strikes Bach for 7 years. Why now?
Because it's only just now that they're trademarking it. Isn't that what it was?
We've had this for 7 years and we applied for a trademark because we didn't want to infringe on any other beers or anyone else's trademarks. They applied for the trademark 7 years ago.
Did they sell it for the last 7 years or did they attempt to trademark it 7 years ago?
They attempted to trademark. And by the way, the official name is not Empire Strikes Bach. It's Strikes Bach by Empire. So how close do you have to be? Because I remember reading a comic book parody where one of the characters' name was Beck, and it was the Empire Strikes Beck, and it was done in the Empire Strikes Back font. Lucasfilm didn't sue. All these lawsuits are only coming from the Disney-owned Star Wars version of Lucasfilm.
No
shit. I think that says something.
Well, I mean, especially not just because now they're owned by Disney, but also because there's movies that are being produced right now.
Good point.
So they have even more of a reason to want to defend their trademark. I think it's stupid, but I can see why they would want to, even if I think it really is very, very dumb.
Comes across as petty, doesn't it?
It does, especially when you consider, again, every restaurant and cafe and bar and everywhere has their own version of this. You know, not everybody has one trademarked, but again, it's everywhere. There's no way of actually stopping all of them that are out there, and maybe they're just picking the battles they know they can win, which is petty, not gonna lie.
That sounds kind of like a bully tactic, too.
Well,
only choosing the battles you know you can win? Only picking on people smaller than you? Isn't that what a bully does?
Well, let's face it. It's Disney. There is nobody bigger than them.
Comcast is arguably bigger than Disney, but that's debatable. I just think this is stupid. I think it's frankly stupid.
I see why they're doing it. And again, we've talked about this on the show before, where it's just they have to defend it every time that they can, because it could screw them over in the future if they don't. But I think it's dumb.
I do, too. Speaking of dumb, let's talk about Ebola and the dumb in New York.
Oh, yay. Let's talk about Ebola.
Well, we're not actually going to be talking about Ebola. We're going to be actually talking about one of the TV anchors on New York One's channel. Okay, Ebola is essentially spread not through bodily fluids necessarily, like in the same way that AIDS is, but through saliva or poop or pee. It's basically those kind of bodily fluids that spread Ebola. Well, the New York One anchor had this to say. Then if you encounter poopy or saliva, and he used the term poopy and saliva on the subway, don't put it in your mouth. They
poopy?
Literally I... just told New Yorkers not to eat the poopy.
Well, to be honest, this is New York. They probably need that level of instruction.
That's a good point. That's a very valid point, honestly. But seriously, a TV news anchor has to tell people in New York not to eat the poopy. The look on his face almost seemed like he was trying to find a safe way to say shit on TV.
Try not to eat the poopy.
Yeah, I think he went into dad mode, you know? But it just makes you wonder. I know we're joking about New York, but do you need to be told that, hey, if I accidentally stick my hand in shit on the subway, maybe I shouldn't touch my face with it?
Okay, first off, really, Americans do need that level of people telling them. But I think, and maybe this wasn't his intention, but I sort of think it sort of alleviates some of the fears. It sort of goes, look, this is how hard it is to get Ebola. You would literally have to eat shit to get Ebola. So let's all stop panicking about it and have a little bit of a laugh out of everyone else panicking.
I just thought of something when you said that. So if you did eat the poopy, would you literally eat shit
and die?
Exactly. Oh, I'm sick. All right.
I mean, Ebola is a serious thing, but seriously, the way that Americans deal with it is just so ridiculous.
Well, especially with coming out right now, have you seen that there is already sexy Ebola nurse costumes for Halloween that you can buy?
Wow. Really?
Yeah, that was quick, huh?
Wow. That's sinking to a whole new level.
What, with how quick they got it out, or just the level of,
I mean, the level of depravity plus the quickness of it, there's just really, like, a lack of conscience. Like, we can joke about Ebola once in a while, but sexy it's not sexy. Nothing about Ebola is ever going to be sexy.
But you know, with Halloween, every female costume is sexy something.
Yeah, but how is Ebola even a thing? Like, that shouldn't be a costume. How is an Ebola nurse different than any other nurse? This one's dead. So you could just be zombie nurse, and it would be the same thing.
We've got one more incredibly stupid one for this segment, but this will actually kind of lead into a deeper issue. Now, conservative columnist and former Reagan administration aide. Remember, this guy was relatively highly placed in Ronald Reagan's administration. Douglas MacKinnon, he put out a new book. It's not science fiction. It's about how the South needs to literally secede from the United States and form its own country called Reagan which would enforce traditional American values and return America to the values it has thrown away.
Okay, let me just ask. If you secede from the Union, how can you return America to the values when you are no longer part of America?
Valid point. His book is literally called The Secessionist States of America, the Blueprint for Creating a Traditional Values Country Now. It's a fantastic title, by the way, though.
It's a long title. That's something.
It's also revisionist history. He goes on to explain in the book how, quoting, the South had seceded legally and peacefully during the Civil War, but greedy Northerners like President Lincoln waged an illegal war that was in fact not declared against the South after the South basically did what we're talking about in this book now in terms of peacefully, legally, and constitutionally leaving the Union, unquote. Holy revisionist Civil War history, huh?
Wow. I mean, there's levels of denial that you're allowed to be in if you're in a river in Egypt.
Yes, because then you were literally in denial.
Wow. I mean, this is why public education is so, so important.
This is why letting these people decide what gets taught in schools is so dangerous.
Because then you just get shit like this where, and I really hate to say it, but it really is the South who decides that they're just going to make shit up.
Absolutely.
To make themselves feel better about the past.
Oh, absolutely. In McKinnon's new Perfect America, Reagan, which, as you pointed out, is not America, but he keeps calling it America because he's an idiot, gay rights would not exist. Gays would basically not be allowed. He doesn't come out and say that, like, blacks and Hispanics are not allowed, but he basically wants to make it a white puritanical America. So he basically is saying, niggers and spicks, get out. Here's the thing. Oh, and it would be all Christian. No Jews, no Muslims. You'd have to be Christian to live in Reagan. Now, here is the scary part. The fact that he wants to do this, and he's getting support from it, okay? He's got some senators and whatnot that are going, you know what? Not a bad idea. Now, how would this work legally? If you're a black person, you're a black Jew, and hey, they're out there. You're a black Jew living in Texas. Let's say they attempt to secede. What happens to all the people who don't want to be part of Reagan, who are in the now Reagan-claimed territories?
Yeah, I don't know if he realizes how many black people live in the South, but it's a lot.
I think, no, not just blacks, Hispanics. There's a lot more of them in the South.
Well, Texas? I'm pretty sure he said he didn't want Texas for that reason.
It's already contaminated?
That's essentially what he said in his book, that there was too many incursions in Texas already, meaning there was too many Latinos. And they're just not white enough for his new country, Reagan.
Well, he's also quoting, the war between the states, religious right activists should endorse the secessionist movement as a way to protect our faith. Yes, you get a double exasperated sigh from that one for that one.
I mean, if you really just want to go on to a place, a country that is completely controlled by religion, I invite you to go to the Middle East and go see what that's like.
But they hate that!
That's a certain kind of irony, where they see states that are ruled by religion and they're completely revolted by it. But that's exactly what they want.
They made light about it before the Civil War as well. So do you think, I'm asking you this honestly, let's say the secessionist movement grows. Do you think in your lifetime you will see another American Civil War for secession other than the Civil War I keep warning about, the cultural one, an actual secessionist Civil War in your lifetime, Kat?
No, I don't think so. And it's mostly because they would be too hard to sell it to the people, because even though there are a lot of really insane conservative people who would love to see the South secede, it would never happen because, and this is a really goofy reason when I say it, but it's too hard. There are way too many things involved with seceding to actually do it. You would have to start thinking about, okay, all of our cities are connected by trains and planes.
The infrastructure would be maddening.
Right. You could never do it. Like, water alone, just trying to get water.
What I think would be funny is if the South secedes, okay, let's just say right now Oklahoma. Let's say Oklahoma secedes from the United States, and then they immediately get invaded by Mexico. And then they ask their they ask America for help, and we go, no, you left. Bye.
Sorry, you're not American citizens, and we have no duty to protect you. Anybody can just come up and invade, but you don't have the infrastructure for it. Just thinking about how necessary all of the states are for each other, because we get our corn from this state, and our wheat from that state, and our water from, you know, a table underneath the Southwest or whatever. It's just too complicated. I mean, if Hawaii or Alaska wanted to secede, it would be one thing, but the continental United States is probably just going to stay together, if for no other reason than it would be too complicated not to stay together.
So I think McKinnon is a fucking nut, and I also think, in a way, he's dangerous, too.
There are going to be people who are for that. I don't think there will ever be enough people who are for that.
Exactly. We're going to take a break. When we come back, one kind of dumb story, and then a couple of serious ones. Well, not really. We'll be back.
It's us. How serious can it get?
Is swamped with business, as always, so I go to my other cranky old man, Pete.
Hart is always swamped for some reason or another. I don't know why. I don't know if it's swamped with business or not, but yeah, thanks for letting me fill in. Ain't like I'm doing too much. Night before Halloween, I should be up soaping up windows or doing some fucking mischievy things.
I think you'd have to be soaping up a hooker named Windows.
That's true, too. Do they have Mischief Night out by you? I mean, is that just an East Coast phenomenon? I know Detroit has Devil's Night.
Right. Here, it's got to remember, I'm a little bit outside of Green Bay, so it's relatively tame. I'm sure Milwaukee, it's a little more nuts.
Yeah, I don't get too much around here. Cocksuckers know I'll shoot them, so they stay away, you know.
Actually like giving out candy to kids. I give out comic books, too. I figure I'm gonna stimulate your mind, too, so I hand out old comic books.
I don't have a problem with that. Nobody comes by the house, though. They have a weird thing here, like certain towns do it on certain days. Well, this town's doing it on Saturday, so I'm going to the Gugliardi Fest, so I won't be around. So
I never understood that shit. I never understood Halloween on a day other than Halloween.
I don't know. Well, I know it's supposed to be really shitty tomorrow. That's what I heard, weather-wise. So.
Yeah, it is, but that's not the point.
Yeah, the point.
This won't air until the day after Halloween anyway.
Okay, so I got to rant about something that fucking happened in my complete disdain for Republic cunts, as I call them. What happened yesterday was a friend of mine named Jim Cirinello, who reps the Japanese people for the conventions, like Mr. Nakajima, who was in the original Godzilla suit, and all of those people. Well, he had, I think, three of the guys that were in the original. Well, of course, Nakajima was the original, who I've met before, a very nice man. And the other two guys, I believe, were, you know, runner-ups in the suits. So he had all these, you know, guys as guests at Chiller Theater. And there was a group picture taken with, I believe, it's the girlfriend of the promoter of Chiller Theater, who was Japanese. And this piece of shit posts on her page, how much did those nips charge? And Jim went fucking berserk. Now, as Jim goes berserk, this worthless piece of shit tries to friend me on Facebook. And I'm trying to place this bastard. And, of course, he has to have a picture of him with that other fat scumbag from Jersey, Chris Christie. You know, the Tony Soprano lookalike.
Go ahead, sue me. I can suspend your civil rights. It's for Ebola, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that fucking moron. To think he's even in consideration for the presidency makes me shudder. That just shows how bad the Republican Party is. But anyway, you know, this guy went on to rant and rave and shit like that. So then I got this thing about, you know, me being basically, and I'll say it, a nigger lover, because supposedly I voted for Obama. Hate to fucking blast your illusion, but I'm not even a registered fucking voter right now, okay? I'm under the fucking radar. I'm so fucking bad off, I just applied for Social Security today. That's how good my life is. But be that as it may, I don't understand why anybody would vote for these miserable, worthless cocksuckers, because this shit all started with the worst piece of shit to ever hold a presidency, Ronald Reagan, a man who single-handedly created the homeless problem in America, a man who turned his back on the AIDS epidemic until it spiraled out of control, and a man who allowed coke being imported in from South America to finance his private war against communism. Amazing that this bastard lasted two fucking terms, but then the people who voted for him were people like my parents who thought, Ronnie's such a nice man and he was a movie star. No, Ronnie is a corrupt fucking thug. It's a shame the bullet didn't fucking kill him. And he started the downward spiral of all the money going into the pockets of 500 fucking individuals in this country.
Then we had trickle-down economics does not work.
No, it doesn't work. And the only thing that trickled down his legs was the shit leaking out of his fucking Depends, the stuff that he didn't reach in and eat by himself. So 8 years of that fucking piece of shit, then we got Clinton. We were prosperous, and Clinton got a blowjob. And of course, the Republicans went nuts over that because they don't get blowjobs. They're more into giving blowjobs. Because if you remember the whole Page scandal when Reagan was in office with the congressmen were blowing young boys.
I also remember assholes like Newt Gingrich talking about how Clinton was defying family morals. Gingrich was on his third marriage.
Yeah, and other congressmen of the Republican stature were cruising fucking men's room. Remember the guy who got caught thumping on a guy's foot in a fucking stall?
I have a wide stance, all right?
Yeah, he has a wide stance, my fucking ass. He has a wide stance when he bends over and takes a fucking huge black cock in his ass. That's when he has a wide stance. No offense to the black people. You want to fuck white Republicans in the ass? I'm all for it. As a matter of fact, I'll supply the lube. But, you know, there you go. So under Clinton, I was curiously prosperous, as were a lot of other people. Things were good. And Clinton did, you know, two fucking terms. All he did was get a blowjob. That's all. He got a blowjob. Nothing big. He got a blowjob. Clinton's term runs out. We have a huge budget surplus. Enter our special needs president, JWB, the Bush family. The Republicans answer to the Kennedys, a white trash version of the Kennedys, the Bush family. So GWB, the little retard that he is, proceeds to squander the budget, get us in a fucking war, a bunch of wars that we can't fucking win. Thousands of our men and women are killed on these battlefields for absolutely no reason other than to line the pockets of Bush and his fucking cronies. So then we finally, you know, 8 fucking years of this asshole and everything going to shit, and then we get Barack Obama. I'm not a fan, but I'm not going to badmouth the man because of his race, because basically the fucking Republicans are chomping at the bit that all they want to do is get, and I quote this from a Republican friend of mine, that nigger out of office. That's all it is. They're a bunch of fucking racists. And when you look at the lineup of sociopaths they have representing them, Sarah Palin, a brawl on the air, captured on camera, police released the audio. Shame, shame, Sarah. You're not the clean little squeaky clean house life you claim to fucking be. And Michelle Bachmann, who needs a cock up her ass worse than any fucking woman in the history of Western civilization.
Let's be fair. I would fuck the shit out of Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. Yes, you do stick your dick in crazy.
Yeah, I know. I've done it on several occasions, but this is the crazy that'll come home and fucking nest in your fucking house. That's that kind of crazy. And then we have Ted Cruz. You know, really, look at this fucking guy. Wasn't he a Canadian? What's he doing here to begin with? Send his ass back up to the frozen fucking north. No offense, Canadians. I love you guys, but you shouldn't have dropped your turd down into our hemisphere. And who else do we have? Rick Perry, the saddle-sniffing fucking Republican from Texas who basically verbally ass-raped the young woman who is now challenging him for the governorship, and I hope she wins. This is so... And then, of course, Chris Christie, who's a doctor. He thinks he's a doctor. No, Chris Christie.
No, he thinks he's a member of Tony Soprano's crew.
He wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes at the Tony Soprano's crew. This is just another fat Jersey fucking blowhard. And like I say, just the fact that they're even thinking of running him for the fucking presidency makes me cringe. Hope the rest of them are done, too, because I honestly don't know who the fuck they could run. Were they going to run Mitt Romney for the third time?
You can only lose so many times.
Yeah, Rick Perry, who's proven to be a complete fucking asshole. I don't know who else they got. Mike Huckabee, who's obviously sucked Jesus's dick because you can smell it on his breath. So, you know, again, who are they going to run? These people are fucking sociopathic scumbags, especially the teabaggers. And you know something? Election day, everybody better get out there and vote. Don't vote Republican. Just pull any other fucking lever, because we cannot allow these people to get control of the Senate. If they do, you may as well put a fucking gun to your head and pull the trigger, because it's fucking over. We're fucked.
Western Texas, California, a manly way to do it.
Kat, how much do you think someone's past should come back to haunt them? Do you think that something in 2014 that they did in the 1960s and 1970s should have a bearing on, say, being a teacher today?
Well, I mean, unless you murdered somebody.
I'm just talking about something you did in the past. Like, say, you were in a handful of erotic films in the 60s and 70s in Italy, and now you're being fired from a dance school that you're a teacher at because just now they found out that Jacqueline Laurette Unger was in a bunch of Italian soft porn films, soft porn, by the way, and horror movies in the 1970s. Should this cost her her job now?
That seems pretty ridiculous. On the one hand, I can see that if all of her students found out, that would
That's actually
change.
What brought this up. All of her students found out due to the internet. Oh my God, that's Miss Unger, and she's like being killed by a zombie after having sex with a dude in a movie in 1973.
I think a lot of people would like to find out that their teacher was a porn star. That would be really cool for, I think, a lot of people. But it could potentially negatively affect the discipline of the room. In some way, shape, or form, or at least that's probably what the school board is thinking, that, you know, oh, they're not going to take this teacher seriously because she was in porn and now they all know it. And, you know,
but
that
it was
makes
soft
them...
porn. So, no penetration. And she did a bunch of horror movies, too. She did a bunch of Jess Franco stuff.
Do you really think that the school board cares if it was softcore or hardcore porn? You put the word porn there and parents freak out.
Actually, the article we're reading doesn't use the term porn. It uses the term erotic film.
Erotic film, otherwise known as...
Porn.
Porn.
Yes. I'm just saying they don't use the term porn once. They keep using the term erotic film. I
to
think
avoid
that's just
using the word porn.
It's an more eloquent way of putting it. But she, I know, I don't, this is in Canada, this is in Montreal, so I don't know how the laws are. I hope she sues the hell out of the school. Because I don't, I mean, Kat, you're doing this show right now. What if in 30 or 40 years you're trying to be a teacher and they go, well, back in 2014 you said this on a show called What the Fuck? Do you think that's fair to you?
No, I would never try and be a teacher, though. But nevertheless,
it's an example.
This is really dumb. This woman is in her, what, 70s now?
Yeah, she's 73.
She's 73.
She made these movies over 40 years ago.
Like, what is even the point of even bringing it up now? It's to assuage the concerned parents who are paranoid about their special little boy or girl being exposed to pornography. They don't understand it. They don't watch it, or they say they don't watch it. They hold it to be immoral and therefore assume that anybody who was even remotely involved with it must be also immoral and should not be allowed to teach their children because they will teach them to sin and be immoral.
Well, the school released a statement, quoting, "We're not talking about paintings or sculptures of naked bodies produced with artistry and aesthetics in mind. There are erotic scenes designed for an adult audience," unquote. Do you notice that? With artistry and aesthetics in mind. So what they're saying is, like, if she were in a Terrence Malick film and saw and showed her boobs, maybe. Because that's art. Jess Franco? That's porn. They're making a distinction based on the quality of the fucking films. That's what offends me, Kat.
It is the idea that there is no artistry in porn.
Like, or in Italian exploitation from the 70s.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are exposed to a lot of things in school that involve nudity or indecent themes, and we find them in books and we find them in art class and stuff like that. And that's okay because that's educational.
It's art.
And it's art. You have to say with a very airy voice, it's art. It's my work.
Yes.
You know, but like the idea that porn cannot in any way, shape, or form be artistic or learned from is kind of a false way of looking at it because it is there for an adult audience, but that doesn't mean that it's all just sloppy messes of limbs and genitals.
Well, today,
I'm not. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, but it doesn't all have to be. I mean, no. You wouldn't know until you watch it and go, well, that was actually really well filmed. The lighting in that scene, you know.
It's funny, if you listen to some commentary tracks from some 70s porn films, they were making real films. They just
Absolutely.
Had cum shots in them.
Because sex sells, and if you have a story to tell, you can always put sex in it and make your story happen, because somebody will license it if you put sex in it.
I'm just offended that she was fired for this 40 years after the fact. I don't know if maybe she didn't disclose this when she was hired at the school over a decade ago.
And maybe why would you have to?
Well, maybe because of her credits, she's a dance teacher. Maybe she danced in these. I don't know. But I'm just saying, if they just found out about him now, I don't get why they're so offended now. Yes, I agree. There's going to be some discipline problems in the classroom, but that's going to go away relatively quickly.
Especially after you have a new class.
And in all honesty, them firing her, she had to have known she was going to go to the press, which just highlights the issue, doesn't it? It doesn't
yeah,
make it go
I mean,
away.
There was no way that it was going to stay quiet because it's just so wrong.
It
so, I think it's going to hurt them more than it's going to do them any good. Oh, great. Now you're going to have a few less parents complaining, but now you're going to have a big lawsuit for something that happened
40 years ago.
40 years ago. That's ridiculous.
Well, let's move from that to a different kind of celebritardy. I have an issue with crowdfunding from famous people, okay? I have no problem at all, Kat, with Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe, anything like that. You're some upstart little company. You want to make your zombie movie, your space epic, and you don't have any money and you need the $100,000 or something. I got no problem with that, okay? My problem comes in when people that are worth millions and millions of dollars in their personal fortune are using Kickstarter to crowdfund a movie or a project. That offends me on a core level.
Because Spike Lee
personal wealth of $47 million, owns 8 luxury cars, and lives in a $16 million mansion. I looked this up. Is crowdfunding his next two films.
He could sneeze the funding for his next two films, but he wants other people to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty fucked up to me.
Rob Zombie, his next film, he's crowdfunding it. He has a personal wealth of $36 million. He's crowdfunding his next horror film.
Is there something in a contract or in the union or something that prevents you from spending money on a project that you want to work on? Or is that just like pure greed? Because it makes me genuinely wonder, because there are things that people do that seem greedy, but there's like contracts and unions in place that force them to act a certain way. But this just doesn't seem like one of them.
No, and the reason this is coming up is Ed O'Neill is involved in a crowdfunding project. Now, I like Ed O'Neill. I think he's a funny actor. I think he's a funny guy. I've heard he's really nice to people. But he is lending his name to crowdfund a documentary called Trafficant, Congressman of Chinatown. It was all about Jim Trafficant, who was fatally injured in a tractor accident, and about his works. Now, they need $17,500 by November 23rd to finish this documentary. Ed O'Neill loves the idea of this. So he's lending his name to it and saying, like, oh, if you pledge $2,500, I'll have lunch with you and I'll autograph books for you and stuff. Why can't Ed O'Neill just give them the $17,500 that they need? Ed O'Neill makes $150,000 an episode off Modern Family, which he makes 23 episodes of a year. And I'm sure that's at the low end. I'm sure that's the low end of what he gets. He could crowdfund this all himself and not even make a dent in his bank account. Why the fuck should other people crowdfund this for Ed O'Neill?
Yeah, I mean, that's very poor motivation when wealthy people tell you to spend your money in a certain way. Sort of like, no, why don't you spend your tremendous amounts of money on something instead of telling me what to do with mine?
That's what is needed for this is less than a minute of work for him on the set of Modern Family. He could give them the money like that, and he's not. But he's, well, I'll lend my name to it.
So ridiculous. If you have the ability to do great things because you have the wealth, the physical capability, why would you not do those great things? If you believe in something completely, then you should be willing to sacrifice something for it. And this is just like a cheap way for him to get in on something and pass his name around without actually doing anything.
This is the kind of thing that bothers me about Kickstarter and all that. Not that they exist, because I think crowdfunding, in all honesty, for projects like movies, TV shows, documentaries and whatnot, I think crowdfunding is a fantastic device because you literally get to deal with the people who are the most interested in your project. I just think it's being abused by people like Ed O'Neill, Spike Lee, and Rob Zombie. And I'm sure there's others. I think when you can afford this, there's no reason that the people should make your movie for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the ability to do it and you're willing to reward people like you do through Kickstarter, you donate this amount of money, then, you know, you get this as a reward. Why wouldn't you, if you had the money, just reward all of the people for doing it anyway? Like my movie, here's a reward.
Like I said, they need this relatively small sum, $17,500. Ed O'Neill makes that in a minute. Why can he not just write a fucking check?
Tax, it's not a tax write-off, maybe? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I think if you have the ability to do something and you believe in it, you should just go out there and do it. And don't make other people do it for you.
Well, let's move from that to the one serious story we have tonight. A Roy, Utah man, Jose Calzada, 35, he called the suicide prevention hotline. He was feeling down. He was feeling suicidal, but he wanted to live. Well, what the suicide prevention hotline did, for some bizarre reason, instead of sending out a team of crisis response individuals, they sent a SWAT team to his house. After a multi-hour standoff, the SWAT team killed him because he was suicidal and they needed to prevent him from killing himself, so they shot him fatally. I'm not joking. This is the third time this year that a SWAT team has been sent out by the suicide prevention hotline. Isn't there something inherently wrong with that? Why is the SWAT team involved when someone calls the suicide prevention hotline?
This is a lot more complex than you are making it sound. I don't, for any reason, understand why the suicide hotline would dispatch a SWAT team. But the situation, once they got there, is not entirely as simple as you made it sound.
Quote, officers are authorized to stop a threat whenever their life is threatened or the life of another is threatened. And at that point, if the officer feels he is justified, he may act to stop that threat. Unquote.
What the article also says is that this man was living in his girlfriend's house with his girlfriend's children, and the article doesn't actually say if anybody else was in the house. Now, let's say, for example, we don't know what happened, but let's theorize, if we may, what could have happened. Here's a suicidal guy. Maybe he's got a weapon. Maybe those kids are in the house.
That I agree with that.
That is a completely different scenario.
Okay, I agree
than
with that.
Just,
I agree
here's
with
a guy.
You. Yes, if that were the scenario, I still don't think a SWAT team is necessary at this point. But yes, there is the threat of danger to others. From what I'm getting from this article, Calzada only threatened to kill himself. And again, as you pointed out, we don't know whether the girlfriend or the children were in the house. But if he's only threatening to kill himself, why would you assume? Always go to the worst, right? Well, he's probably going to kill the kids too. We need to send out a SWAT unit.
We don't know, because this article did not provide enough information. But it was having no problems at all with just making it look like the SWAT team, oh, we just went in and killed a guy. They have no problem with that, but they don't provide any evidence to what really happened. And maybe the police just haven't released a full statement on what had happened, but there was not enough information in this article to make any kind of real judgment about what went down.
Let's talk in the abstract for just a moment. But don't you think sending a SWAT team to somebody who called the suicide prevention hotline, again, let's just assume for this argument it's just a single person, no kids in the house or anything, okay? Wouldn't you think a SWAT team showing up on your lawn is going to exacerbate the situation rather than a counselor showing up on your lawn to try and talk you out of it?
Is that what happens? Do they just send counselors to your house? Because
I don't know what is involved here. It's called a crisis response team. I don't know exactly what that entails, but I would assume a counselor is part of the crisis response team.
Because I don't know what a crisis response team is, and this article didn't even begin to explain what it was. Just
right,
that,
I'm assuming it's probably people to try and talk to you.
Which would be who exactly? Who can act on that kind of authority?
I'm not sure. I just think the SWAT team is, no pun intended, overkill. They should not be the first call you make.
Right. And that's assuming that it was just the guy. That
right.
Would
that's
ser-
why I
that
said,
would
yeah,
definitely
let's talk in the
be
abstract
overkill.
Right now. Yeah, right.
Right. Like, yep. I can't even begin to fathom why, but who makes that call? Does the suicide
the
hotline?
Yeah, I would think the dispatcher would decide who to send. I don't know exactly how the suicide hotline works, but I would assume the suicide hotline is there to help people not kill themselves, where you have to think, by sending a SWAT team. It'd be different if it was an officer, maybe to try and talk to him. But when you see seven heavily armed men and a tank show up on your lawn, that's going to make the situation a little more tense.
No shit.
So I think you're already suicidal, and you see that, and you go, well, fuck it then. I think that the SWAT team is not the right thing to use on somebody who's already suicidal. Now, if there are other lives in danger. In Calzada's case, if the kids and the girlfriend were in the house, I still think it was a little overkill. You could have just sent an officer or two to check the situation. But, okay, then it might have been called for eventually. And
right.
We don't know what happened in the ensuing 7 hours.
Well, we don't even know what happened during the call that spurred them to call the SWAT, because he could have had a gun and been like, yeah, I'm going to blow my brains out in front of these kids. And then they would have been like, shit, we'd better send somebody with enough to take him out just in case he tries to take the kids. We don't know.
Exactly. But my problem is the whole suicide prevention hotline calling the SWAT team. That's what my problem is. That I think you skip like three steps in there, you know?
Including counseling.
Yeah. So like, that's what my problem. I'm I'm not saying it was what happened with Calzada was right or wrong. What happened in the previous cases was right or wrong, because we don't know the details of that. My problem is, why is the SWAT team even involved in suicide prevention?
It seems kind of counterintuitive, if you ask me.
Exactly. So you are right, Kat. You are 100% right. We don't know the exact details of these cases, but in the abstract, I think they're jumping to worst case scenario right away. And that's dangerous, I believe.
It is. And the thing that really riled me up was just the way that this article that we're using to reference this was obviously very anti-cop.
It was
written to be like, oh, look, this poor, innocent, depressed guy called up called to get some help. And then they sent people to kill him because cops are all bad. And that's the way exactly that this was written. It was written that sentiment.
But I do agree where the article we're going from is from the Free Thought Project. And this was very much a biased article, but the base facts, leaving out the hyperbole that they put in the article, the base facts are what actually concerned me of the whole SWAT team being called by the suicide prevention hotline thing.
Yeah, where not for the first time, cops have shown up to help deal with a situation involving somebody who had called the suicide hotline, and then the person who ended up doing those calls was later killed. And you're like, why are these calls even being made like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, the fact is three of those happened in Utah within the last year. That's a disturbing trend. No amount of hyperbole in the article is going to cover that up or exacerbate that. SWAT team, in my opinion, should not be involved in a suicide. Now, if it becomes a hostage situation, changes everything. But for a suicide, SWAT team should not have anything to do with that.
Right. There are just steps.
It seems like the SWAT team is step four, and they jump from step one to step four. Because not just in this article, but it seems like the suicide prevention hotline never called a counselor for this case. That their first call was the SWAT team.
And that just makes no sense unless there is like a really huge, clear and present danger above what the police, a normal police can handle. Like, you'd think like a normal thing where you could just send a cop over and talk to him and send a counselor with him, and these two people can help talk a guy down off a ledge or something. But the whole SWAT team makes
me
wonder.
You don't send Martin Riggs.
Right.
You don't send Martin Riggs to talk to a jumper.
It blows my mind that this escalated this way, that there just weren't smaller little steps there. It makes me wonder, is this a huge glaring flaw in the system, or was there just way more going on behind the scenes that are details that haven't been released? Like, I'm just so confused by this.
We, like you pointed out, I think rightfully, we don't know the details of specifically what he said to the suicide prevention operator. We don't know. Maybe the SWAT team was appropriate. Maybe he said, like, I'm going to kill every motherfucker in this neighborhood and then put the gun in my mouth. At that point, SWAT team should be your first call. So we don't know exactly. I just think jumping from I want to kill myself to let's send a SWAT team to take you down is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think it sets a really terrible precedent, because this could potentially steer people away from calling the suicide prevention hotline.
Exactly. I don't want a SWAT team showing up on my lawn and shooting me when all I've, yes, I've got some suicidal thoughts in my head, but okay, let's put it this way. If you call the suicide prevention hotline, you really don't want to die, right?
Yeah. If there's enough hesitation that you would rather call somebody than kill yourself, then obviously you don't want to kill yourself that badly. And you're taking steps to prevent yourself from doing something that you won't live to regret. So the last thing you really need is somebody killing you. This is terrible. And like, it just seems like there's got to be some sort of flaw in the system where maybe it's just one dispatcher is handling things poorly, or maybe it really is just this gigantic error where they're sending stuff out that they shouldn't be sending stuff out for.
Problem.
Which I think is just a great time to bring up that suicidal thoughts should be addressed very, very quickly. And if you are depressed or have some sort of issue where you have thought about killing yourself, you need to talk to somebody before you get to the point where you are making an emergency call.
Exactly.
You need to talk to somebody now. You need to go see a counselor, see a therapist.
Or just talk to somebody.
Yeah, even if it's just calling up your best friend at 3 a.m. because you feel bad. You have to talk to people and try and work these things out. And if you need to be on antidepressant medication, then you need to go and get that. Because the last thing you want is to have to call up something, you know, a hotline that's making these kinds of deadly mistakes.
So
that being said, if you do have to call, just call. Don't worry about the consequences like that. Just call.
It's better than what you're thinking of doing.
Yeah. Everything will be better tomorrow.
All right. On a much lighter note, where can we find Kat if people wish to converse with her?
If you wish to converse with me, and maybe you need to seek some counseling from a wise person obsessed with anime, then you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. You can find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power.
Which is much more upbeat.
It is way more upbeat. Over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab. And you can also find me doing some voiceover work. Neon Harbor's Space Ninja, the animated film, which is an award-winning film. And you can purchase it on neonharbor.com.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And guys, try and have a good night. Don't be stupid. Don't give into crowdfunding idiots. Don't persecute people for movies they made 40 years ago, and call somebody if you need help.
You know, sometimes I sit at home, you know, and I watch TV, and I wonder what it would be like to live someplace like, you know, The Cosby Show, Ozzie and Harriet. You know where cops come and got your cat out of the tree? All your friends died of old age. But you see, I live in South Central Los Angeles. And unfortunately, shit ain't like that!
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.